Please open in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. This is the second letter that Peter is writing. In the first letter, he ends with the thought to tell them to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. But here we find the Holy Spirit is guiding Peter to stir us up in our minds, stir up our pure minds. There is a video that, Lord willing, I want to show. I showed my mother, I've showed others. Speaking of 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. It is a video, an accurate report of a young lady that had needles in her body. Literal needles. They believe they were put there by the enemy. And she had gone to the doctor and they operated. And they removed many of them. But every time they removed any, five more would reappear in the place. Eventually, the doctors didn't want to operate anymore because they wrote saying, this is beyond our understanding to be able to deal with such a odd case. And so she ended up coming to a place where she believed the minister had a touch of God on his life, and he prayed, and she was delivered. They actually have the needles that they showed from the operation, and in the last few operations, they would give a magnet, and she would use that magnet to pull them up. I know this is beyond reason, but we live in a very spiritual world that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. She would use that magnet to draw them to the surface, get them as close as they could, and it caused much pain and discomfort, as you can imagine. And then they would operate. She had many of the scars to show, these keloid scars of where they had operated. And she had about 17 of the needles that had been taken out. But the x-ray showed there were many more. Every time they operated, many more would appear. It was beyond medical science and understanding. The minister is T.B. Joshua. You can look it up, YouTube. But he prayed a prayer of faith, a command prayer, he calls it. And the Lord caused every one of them to disappear. And she is thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. Those kind of things do sober you up. Now, Peter, in chapter 3, I want us to see, because the Christian life is not just one mood. It's not just one emotion. We have the Holy Spirit, the result of Him working in our lives can create on the menu many different emotions or feelings that we have. So I only bring that to your attention in chapter 5 of 1 Peter. He says, now I want you to be sober. And there's a place for soberness. There's a place for all kinds of emotions in the house of God. And may we have grace to allow others to have the emotion and the feelings that perhaps the Holy Spirit is working in their lives. But now, Peter writing, and in 2 Peter chapter 3, let's pick up at verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. At least he's acknowledging the believers have a pure mind. I believe that I am speaking mostly to pure minds this morning. And the mind needs to be stirred. But please notice in the direction and the emotion that he's wanting to develop by stirring the pure mind. Every one of us needs stirred. And the way he is going to stir the mind is by way of remembrance. There is something they knew, and he wanted to remind them of what they already knew. And by observing that which they knew already, he wanted it to stir them. Even the holy prophets before Peter did the same. You'll notice verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now notice the thoughts that the Holy Spirit is guiding Peter to as he speaks to not only them, but also us with pure minds. He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust. Let's not forget, his intention is to stir our pure minds. And now notice the material he's reaching for in the past and also describing what would happen in the future. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, now notice what he says the scoffers would say. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. They are totally wrong. That is not true, what the scoffers are saying. All things are not continuing as they were. And Peter is going to remind us and any scoffer who's willingly to listen that no, things are not always the same. God did destroy the world one time by water. So things are not the same as they were since the beginning of creation. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things, everything's the same as they were from the beginning of the creation. Not true. For this they willingly are ignorant of. You see, you could be ignorant willingly and you could be ignorant unwillingly. They are ignorant willingly. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old. And so Peter is correcting the scoffers. And he says that that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. And so he is correcting the scoffers and saying, no, there was a time when God did judge. And this is what he's drawing our attention to that might stir up our pure minds. He says, verse 7, and this should stir our pure minds, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but here is God, why God is waiting before judgment comes again. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I ministered last week using the illustration of a yardstick, inch 1, and then to final inch 36. There's much discussion what happens in between. I'm wanting to draw our attention from what was and what will be, and that is for another day. But when it's all said and done, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And here he is addressing, and he says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away. And that is why John said in the book of Revelation, he saw a new heaven and a new earth. Here he gives a little other side of the picture, and he says it'll pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So now Peter, he is saying all this for what purpose? To stir our pure minds. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He is trying to stir our pure minds, thinking on this particular teaching of the church, and knowing by the Holy Spirit what is going to happen, that it might put the fear of God in us. And that is what he's trying to stir, is seeing that this is going to happen. Boy, we ought to live right. And he's not saying that you're not living right, because he already said you have pure minds. But even pure minds need to be stirred. And everyone needs to be stirred. And I was thinking as I was meditating upon this, okay, Peter is wanting to stir our minds. Now, I thought of the many ways that he could stir the mind. And before I answer that question, what was he trying to stir? He's trying to produce a healthy fear of God within the believer. Now, there are different emotions that all of us have. I mentioned earlier, the first letter, he was trying to stir, maybe that's not the word, but create soberness. But now, he's trying to stir the pure mind to move us into the arena of a healthy fear of God. And that healthy fear of God can help produce holy living and right living. There are different emotions all of us have. If you read Psalms in the chapter 20, would you please turn there? Because David, a man after God's own heart, he is dealing with different aspects of the Word of God. And if you'll notice, as he is identifying different things about the Word of God, excuse me, chapter 19. David is going to break down the Word of God into different categories. And each one of these categories will have a different effect upon the believer. In Psalms chapter 19, he starts off in verse 7. Now notice the different aspects of the Word of God. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So each one has a different effect upon our mood or our outlook. But then he said in verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And then notice, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Not every part of God's word produces a fear of God. Some of the word of God will have different effects upon us. For instance, when Jesus healed somebody, it may produce the fear of God, but generally when someone is healed, it produces a gratefulness. It produces an attitude of, wow, the Lord is real. Isn't that wonderful? But generally, it doesn't produce a holy and a biblical fear of God. The teachings or the statutes of the Lord, he says, rejoice the heart. So, but when Peter is being led by the Holy Spirit as he writes them, he's wanting to stir up their pure minds. I thought to myself, if I was writing, and obviously I'm not, but if you or I were writing and you're trying to stir people's pure minds up, what would you say? Well, thank the Lord, it's not left up to us to determine what we're trying to say to accomplish. I might say, well, I'm going to tell you a fresh story, something that happened. I thought, Peter, he's trying to stir their pure minds, remember, to live a holy living. I thought, well, he could have mentioned about Ananias and Sapphira that happened in the book of Acts, and where the fear of God came down after that act of the Lord. But he doesn't mention that. There could have been several things that one might think logically he could have mentioned, but the Holy Spirit has him talk about something of years ago of the world and being made, and the scoffers saying nothing's changed, and he takes the most simple story in the Bible of how God destroyed it. And I'm sure Peter had his own experiences. It's very interesting, in the epistles, you don't find them referring to experiences very often. Peter does once about the Mount of Transfiguration, but there were hundreds of experiences that he had in his memory bank that he could have pulled from, but the Holy Spirit, it seems more times than not, has him just stick with the basics and with the word of the Lord, a more sure word of prophecy, not to say that the experiences are in competition or contradict the word of God whatsoever. But I find it interesting that the Lord and the Holy Spirit guides Peter to simply stick with the Bible and what had happened of old and not get away from that. And as much as Peter could have used other things to try to achieve what he's wanting to accomplish, the Holy Spirit. And I think so often, I want to stir your pure minds. I want my mind. Bible said, let another man praise thee and not thy own lips. So I'm going to talk to Dennis. Dennis, you have a pure mind. See, I didn't do that. That was somebody else. But assuming that we all have pure minds, then how are we going to stir it? And I would suggest the church must always stick to the Bible and stick to the stories of old to stir the pure mind. That does not say we cannot in our life. Occasionally, you will experience something in your lifetime that, whoa, you recognize it's your judgment, your opinion, your evaluation. Boy, that no doubt was the Lord that did that, such as Ananias and Sapphira. It does take wisdom, etc., to be able to do that. But each of us, because I need to keep my heart stirred. You need to keep your heart stirred. But may we see the wisdom of God is to let this be the thing that stirs your heart. And that's why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, and it that I might not sin against thee. But I was thinking, well, if I was writing, I might have told him a story. Not to say that that would be wrong, but the epistles generally don't do that. They stick with the word of God. And that's not to say the experiences are not real, and they're not there, but it is my observation in life, and I speak for myself, most of us don't have experiences that create the fear of God in us continually. You might have something happen, and it shakes the foundation of you, but you may go years and years and years before something happens again that will trigger those emotions of a healthy fear of God. So then, if we can't count on the experiences that we don't control, then how am I going to create a stirred heart? And I continually go back and read the Word of God. And I read that God did do that in Noah's day. I do read where he did destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. I do read where fire came down. And I want to encourage you that all of us need our hearts stirred. And if we make the mistake of always putting the responsibility upon the church to stir the heart, you're not going to be stirred as much as you could have been had you not learned to be able to stir yourself by the Word of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And is the church's responsibility overall? Yes, we feed the flock and we do this, but may we get away from, okay, I hope the preacher has a spellbounding sermon and that'll just really stir me up. I need stirring. And I agree. But you're not going to find that. Generally speaking, God puts the responsibility of your soul being stirred by you yourself. And how am I going to stir myself? By the Word of God. And to read it. And to believe it. And I've had experiences, but those experiences are years ago. As much as they're real. And I remember when Jesus said to Thomas, teaching on faith and proper believing, he said, Thomas, blessed are those that believe without having to touch. And I love a good experience. I don't want it to happen to me. But I love to see things that help stir me. But I can't count on them as the ultimate final responsibility to stir my heart. Every person must work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. And I say this because if you catch yourself, and I'm sure you do, as we all do, boy, I need a good stirring. May I encourage you to read the Word of God and to study the Scriptures. The Word of God will create different emotions and different feelings that we have. But there are people that love certain emotions, but they shy away from other emotions. Well, I like this about the Word of God, and I like this, but oh, I don't like that. That creates a feeling I don't like. Well, I won't tell you what my daddy used to say, but I am trying to say that God wants you to have all of the emotions that are healthy and are good, and the fear of the Lord is a healthy emotion if it is understood correctly and applied correctly. And that's why we're living in a day when preachers are catering and allowing the people that have itching ears, why, okay, I'm going to preach this knowing it'll create this emotion, but ooh, I don't want to preach this because I know it'll stir up an emotion that some people shy away from. We must not shy away from any of the Word of God. All of the Word of God is for profit. And so don't shy away. It may create an emotion in you that you're uncomfortable with. But can I challenge you, if you're a person that, ooh, I don't like those things, trust the Lord. I'm not here to try to stir up an emotion. I'm here to preach the Word of God. And as a result, it's like a ship. If the ship will just move ahead in the direction it's supposed to, it will create the wake. The wake doesn't create the direction of the ship. And so get your ship going in the right direction, and the wake will take care of itself depending on the waters upon which you are in. I thought of things that I could say that would stir your hearts, and they would be right. But this past 2-3 weeks, and I shared this with my mother, I don't claim that I have had a vision, but I have been stirred. I have sensed, and I don't mean this braggingly, I don't want to give that impression, but I'm very sensitive and try to be to the Holy Spirit. And I have had a sense of, ooh, I see trouble coming down the road. Not for us as Christians. I just sense trouble coming. I don't say that to put a fear. Well, I do, a healthy fear of God. I have no idea what it is. I'm not trying to even go there. But I, for what it's worth, have thought, oh, God, I love you and I appreciate that emotion. I love the statutes, the rejoicing of the heart. But when I begin to, and not me going after it, but it has been coming to me, oh, it has stirred my mind and my heart. How many know we're living in the last days? And troublesome times will come. And such a time as this, we need to have our eyes on the Lord and have our eyes upon the Scriptures and let it stir up our pure minds. And as a result, what it will cause us to live a holy life. That's its intention. How many want to live a holy life? And we need not fear. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And I could give a list of many scriptures that bring comfort to us, but it doesn't remove at the same time the reality of something that I am sensing. And, Pastor, that scares me. It's not in, well, it's supposed to. I want it to create a healthy, holy fear of God. That's what Peter was trying to do. He didn't want him walking around with an unhealthy fear, but he wanted that kind of fear that comes as a result of this that will result in holy living, because we need to be holy. How many agree? And so let's keep our eyes on the Lord and look to Him. Would you stand with me this morning, please? Heavenly Father, You know the beginning from the end. And Lord, You know what's in the future. I only share what I have sensed. And maybe You've brought this to my attention that I might pray as Abraham prayed for Lot. I do not know. I just know that I've had a sense of Your holy presence. And oh God, it shall be well with the righteous. But I have a fear and an uneasiness for those that do not know You. May You allow me to take this feeling and with the help of the Holy Spirit and direct it that I might win the lost. And compassion making a difference in others save with fear, as Your word says in Jude. Oh God, the Holy Spirit matures us and creates different feelings and emotions. When they're from You, they're all good. But lead Your people and guide them in the green pastures, by the still waters. And though You lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Lord, I just pray that whatever happens, our eyes be upon You. And we remember Your word and Your promise that You will be with us. But may we at the same time use this to be concerned about the lost, for those that are not ready. And may it put passion in our prayers. And may the Spirit of God do what logic and psychology cannot do. Lord, only you can stir the heart. And I ask that your word that has gone forth will do what you desire to do. Bless your people on this Labor Day weekend. May you give your people peace and rest. But may we be mindful of the words that the Holy Spirit gave Peter, that we are to stir our pure minds. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Have a great day. And may the Lord bless you richly. Doesn't Debbie sound good? I appreciate the worship team, even when she's not here, being prepared.